Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Backtalk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
God, I love hearing that. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Mindy McFan.
And this is Backtalk. Many of the Oscar nominees as art films.
Yeah.
And so we have one today that I think I would consider an art film.
Most definitely.
This is The Nickel Boys.
Yes.
It's an adaptation of Colin Pulitzer Prize-winning novel.
Yeah.
Nickel Boys, what's up?
Well, that's a big question. The way it's shot is very interesting. And it takes a little adjustment, I thought, at the beginning of the movie. And then I started to enjoy it because it's first person. You don't see the main character for quite a while at the beginning of the movie. But it is about what it felt like to me. It was about the unbearable weight of racism. I felt suffocated watching the movie. And I don't live it. I felt the weight of it, which I thought was what the mastery of the movie was, is he was able to do that.
For the two of us who haven't had to experience it in that way, but we do feel it, and we feel an awful lot of sympathy. You mentioned one thing that still perplexes me a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I was, as many movies as I've seen, I was a bit lost with that point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized what the director, who is Ramel Ross, and I believe I know what he was doing to make us intimate with our characters. The camera is actually the eyes of this character. It's not the way we often see movies. So I thought it took, you said took adjustment. It took me adjustment for a while.
It's brave. It's brave to do something artistic.
Yeah.
Anytime you do something artistic, most people aren't going to like it.
Yeah.
You know, it is a hard thing to do. But I can say, I think that perspective made it more harrowing for me as a white person, and that's what it should have been.
Right.
It should have made me feel miserable, and it did.
And I think that anybody who hears the words reformatory will feel miserable. This is the mid-20th century, right around
Civil rights movement.
Civil rights is based in actual reformatory in Florida.
Yes, people were murdered.
Some gruesome detail here about bodies of these young men being found on the campus.
I think he did a really good job of making the gruesomeness not graphic. More you felt it inside your bones as opposed to experiencing it with your eyes, which I thought was really gutting the way he did that.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah, that's true. As I'm thinking back, I hadn't even thought about that, but of course, it really lacks any blood at all when this is a pretty bloody business going on at this reformatory. But it's funny how that you don't have any positive notions of reformatories. Well, this one shows you exactly why we don't have, and apparently is accurate about how these poor kids were brutalized.
And murdered.
And murdered.
Just flat out murdered.
Now we have two. One is really our protagonist.
He lives with his grandmother, who is brilliantly played to embody the exhaustion of living with racism your whole life. Just absolute exhaustion. I'm sure she was a fighter and all those things, but you can just feel in the weight of her exhaustion in trying to fight against this systemic monster. And she helps her grandson get into a college, and he is walking to the college. Fortunately, takes a ride with the wrong person.
What a great scene that was.
Yeah.
Something a little bit too flashy about that guy and that car.
Yeah.
And it turns out the car was stolen.
Yeah.
No surprise at all. The police come, and they put Elwood in the reformatory school.
Yep.
And he was simply riding a car he didn't even know was stolen.
Knew nothing. And the person said he knew nothing.
Right, right. Then we have the opposite in Turner. And what's he like?
He's more cynical.
Yes.
I mean, Elwood believes in the civil rights movement.
Yes.
And Turner's like, give up.
Right, right.
I mean, they're going to win. You can't fight it. It's impossible.
I love the Turner character because he's been around. This is actually his second time at the reformatory school.
And he's still just a child and already feels it's impossible.
And you mentioned what I thought was a really powerful character, Grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Ellis Taylor.
Right.
And boy, she, what a powerful role.
Yeah.
And there's some optimism in her portrayal as well. You mentioned how difficult. They actually engaged a lawyer.
She tried to do all the things she was told to do. Mm-hmm. You get an education, you go through the correct channels. It didn't work.
Yeah.
Because that's a myth. That's like the bootstrap myth, that if you do all the right things, it's going to work out. Maybe if you're white, not if you're black. No.
I could so feel the disappointment when I think the lawyer just took off, left them.
Took their money.
Took their money and left them. And it, wow. So well done that you could feel, you're almost like a member of the family. You could feel the frustration. Yep, I guess that's the way life is. And that's,
and the burden she carried. I mean, it's just, she tries to come visit him after they beat him to a pulp. She tries to come visit him, and they won't let her see him. And so she hugs Turner instead. And the pathos of her being overwhelmed by the weight of what she's dealing with, the only thing she has left is, I'm going to give some young black man some love. That's all I can do, because it's too big a monster to fight.
Yes, yes, yes. In thinking about that point of view shot, there's one I think that's not quite famous, but I think most people pick on. And this is when, is it she? It's someone else who asks to be embraced.
Turner. Yeah, she runs into him
because
Elwood's in the hospital.
Yeah.
And so she hugs him because she can't hug Elwood.
And the camera actually gets covered by her.
Right.
Oh, it's such
And then she says to hug her harder.
Yes, yeah. Right. It's such an interesting shot.
It's so
what an intimate
heartbreaking
moment.
Heartbreaking.
I know it is. Yeah. Does anything turn out right? I mean, I'm not worried about endings and so on. Where does this end up, Mindy?
Elwood passes on his belief that you can fight it to Turner, because Turner survives, and he takes on Elwood's persona, not only his name, but his persona in belief that something can change if you fight hard enough and long enough.
Yes.
It's like he takes everything of Elwood's, because Elwood's dead. He takes it on as, I think, an homage to him to keep him alive.
Yeah, nicely said. We have a lot of superimposition of black and white photography from the time, including Martin Luther King, very prominent. The way in which we've characterized it, and you particularly have characterized it, there is in King that contradiction of hope and despair.
Yeah, there's the hope, but there's also the reality.
Yes.
Hope don't feed your baby.
So, Mindy, we are around Oscar time, and this is nominated as a best film of the year, and I think you characterize them right. Many art films in here, which I'm very happy. This one I find more difficult to get a hold of, not only because of his photography, but also because of the contradictions in civil rights movement. I think it's so true. I doubt if Nickel Boys is going to win the Oscar. I just think it's too, not sophisticated, but too complicated, I think, for people.
I think it's too real and sad, and people they don't want to own it. You have to go see this, and then you have to own this horror existed and still exists, and that's a lot for people to do in the movie theater.
Yeah,
they're not want to struggle in a movie theater. Dead silence at the end of this movie. Mm. I don't know that I've ever experienced that to that degree.
Yep.
Because part of me wanted to jump up and clap that this man made this movie, but it was dead silent in the movie, because it's hopefully heart-wrenching and you feel absolutely horrible at the end of it, I hope.
So while we have, you know, the usual light fare like Captain America coming up soon, we still have some of our educated audience, and 35% of them are college grads. They're looking for something meaty. Mm-hmm. Is this the film for family or you know?
Absolutely.
Good.
I think everybody should see this. And white people should see it as a penance.
Yes. Mindy, in our movie, Nickel Boys, they have several times when you see on the TV the defiant ones. Do you remember that film?
I think I watched it, you know, when I was a little kid. I didn't see it in the movie theater or anything, but I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, I think the most striking image is that of the white man and the black man being chained together.
Right.
So this, you have the not realistically black man, Sidney Poitier, and Tony Curtis. For a serious film like that, it's really odd.
Yeah.
It captures, apparently, for the director and for the filmmakers in general here, the being chained, that the civil rights movement would say, yes, that's true. But the two, the white and the black being chained together, is a really interesting concept to me.
Well, it's you know, the metaphor of how much they hate each other. Yes. And you may hate each other, but we're stuck together. And if I remember, the movie goes through the spiral of them hating each other and wanting each other dead to understanding of some sort.
Yes, yes.
At the end.
There is a film that has a title that is relevant to what we're talking about. It's called Borstal Boy. The writer, Brendan Behan, he's befriended in a British borstal, which is the British word for reformatory. Isn't that interesting? Hmm. Borstal Boy. I always remember that title.
Yeah.
He is befriended by a liberal warden in the reformatory. There's another film in 1948 called Port of Call, a suicidal factory girl out of reformatory school, anxious to escape her overbearing mother, falls in love with a sailor who can't forgive her past. So if you're in a reformatory school, boy, does that color your whole life?
I would think so.
Wow.
I would think so. Yeah. Probably pretty barbaric back then.
Oh.
Don't know that it isn't now. Yeah. I don't know what juvies are like.
Yeah. In The Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner in 1962. This is a young thief who takes up long distance running when he is sent to a borstal. The Lost Boys, which was in 2023.
That one sounds familiar.
Yeah, there's a juvenile reform center, place governed by prohibition of physical contact. So Joe and William fall in love. This is very modern. And love each other. They have to break the law. That sounds very contemporary, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sleepers is another one that I remember the title in 1996. After a prank goes disastrously wrong, a group of boys are sent to a detention center where they are brutalized. So a detention center will be another word, but not quite as serious as reformatory?
Well, I'm guessing it's just the wording changed over time to make it seem like they weren't horrifying.
Yeah.
They just changed the name of it, like juvie or whatever. They keep changing the name so it doesn't seem as barbaric and like we have just thrown children away.
Yeah, yeah. The two young men in Nickel Boys, Ethan Harisse, who was previously in the American Society of Magical Negroes. Isn't that an interesting title? I would almost like to see that. And then Brendan Wilson is in a film called The Way Back. And these are two young men, I think, who may have a future.
I thought they were wonderful. Absolutely believable. Whoever they are in real life disappeared. They were those characters. That was very easy for me. They're not overly developed characters. So everything is has a subtlety to it.
Thank you.
So there wasn't big monologues or anything
that.
Elwood almost portrayed every young black man who tried to go to college and had that kicked out from underneath them. Turner portrayed every young black man that just couldn't take it anymore and just gave up, basically.
Yes.
Even though he comes around. But I think the subtlety of it made it more massive. This was just happening to these two boys. It gave it a sense of this has happened to millions. And I think that really intensified the horror of it.
Right. Yeah. What a good idea in talking about the subtlety of this, where you'd think it would be something that would be hitting you over the head. It isn't. They don't do that. Because we bring so much, I think, to it. And you and I have lived long enough in this whole civil rights that we can fill in. And it's not like we say, well, that's not believable. Yeah, it is believable.
Right.
How far do you think we've come?
Not far enough. Right now, we're going backwards. Right now, we are taking the lives and courage of so many people and putting our boot on it is the best way I can. I mean, the amount of people who had died and fought and struggled to get some hold on things, and we are now, might as well be putting our boots on their throats on the curb.
No, we had a chance with Kamala Harris. There are some who would say because
we had a chance with Reconstruction. Yeah, we've had quite a few chances.
And we've had a chance with Barack Obama. Yes.
You know, one person really isn't sufficient.
No, it isn't.
Even if they're leading the country, one person isn't sufficient. It's just, it's a testament to our cowardice that we keep doing this. That's the only thing I can put it, is cowardice, because the people that are lost because of our cowardice and racism could have changed the entire world.
Yes.
The brilliance we have wasted, even if we're just scummy capitalists about it. It's absolute idiocy, and it's just cowardice, and I don't know why we're such cowards.
Yeah.
Don't know.
But it is films like Nickel Boys that at least raise our consciousness.
Hope.
And boy, this has been a long haul. We do have some hope. We are better 150 years later. We're better than we were.
Just not good enough.
Boy, we are definitely not good enough.
Nope, not even close.
And I think we have at least 8 years of not good enough. We never get political, is the two of us?
No, but I'm hoping it brings back the fight.
Yeah.
Maybe when things get bad enough, people go, oh, I get it. I can't sit on my butt. I got to get up and do something.
So Nickel Boys is still playing in a couple of places.
Yes.
And it has been nominated, which means it's going to be around.
And it'll be streaming soon at the end of February.
It will be. Yep. Well, thank you.
Yep.
So we're recommending you on a serious night of good filmmaking. And again, you don't have to be concerned about the message, because this film is also expertly and imaginatively photographed.
Yes, absolutely.
That point of view alone is worth looking at to see. What you say, what can cinema do? Well, take a look at what this person did with it. Take a look at what you feel when you see it. And does it draw you in? It sure drew me in.
Yes, and art changes the world.